Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics forever. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. Tonight's guest is Ron Richard. He's a special breed of songwriter and musician whose approach to music brings a down-to-earth style, performing songs that speak directly to the hearts of an audience. Ron has performed throughout Southern California and across the country with San Diego heavyweight Clay Colton Band, winner of the Vegas Casino Ultimate Music Challenge, Journeyman Band, Ashley Matt, Ryan Hiller Band, Johnny Tarr, the Boudreaux, and the members of the Dead. He plays percussion, harmonica, flute, sax, and vocals, and his key focus is blues, rock, Americana, alternative rock, and crossover country.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Ron. How are you doing tonight?
Great, and thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No problem, my friend. So you've got kind of a cool story here. I was kind of reading through some of your stuff. Tell us a little bit about when did this fascinating journey begin for you?
When I was 9 years old, I actually got invited to do a tryout in Fort Worth, Texas for the Texas Boys Choir. It's a prestigious choir that tours around Texas that does primarily Broadway musicals. So I was accepted as a first tenor and went on tour with them for a couple of years. And that was how I kind of got started in my musical career.
Oh, man, that's great. Tell us a little bit about the rest of your story. Was your family musical at all? Did they encourage you to do this?
Yeah, my mom played piano. She kind of got me into music. In fact, when I was 14, I didn't really play any instruments until it was one Christmas she got me a harmonica. I started playing that and listening to records from Bob Dylan and Cream and different bands back in the 60s and 70s, and joined a little blues band in high school and was just basically playing harmonica.
Okay. Do you have any famous musicians that you admire?
Oh, gosh, yeah, quite a few. Obviously, I've got a strong connection with several people in the Dead, so I've got a lot of admiration for the history of that band and what they've been able to do musically. And I was fortunate enough to meet and play with Mick Fleetwood a few years ago. And another guy that's just got a super rich history with playing in multiple different really groups under the same name, but played with some amazing musicians, particularly guitar players.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your inspiration. How does it start? Do you start with your instrument? Do you start with a drum groove, melody? What's the most common way you do it?
Well, I read a little bit about your bio, and I kind of approach writing songs maybe in a similar way in terms of your ideas or thoughts. I start with lyrics. I know a lot of musicians don't like doing that. They'd rather probably start with fundamentals of a hook line, a chorus, or whatever, and kind of build from the music. But I kind of build a song based around lyrics first. Since I don't play guitar or keyboard, I pretty much have to work with musicians that, particularly guitar players, that once I go through the lyrics with them and we kind of talk about what the song is going to kind of feel and the vibe of it, that's how it kind of gets started. And then from there, there's, you know, obviously rough tracks and iterations, but a lot of the material that you'll hear that I've written, they've pretty much, I'd say the majority have started out with the lyrics.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I can tell you that that's the only way I did it. And then I started taking songwriter lessons probably about 6 years ago and got yelled at that that's not the correct way. And I see both sides to it, but I think you can definitely write lyrics and have an idea and a melody in your head, or like, you know, whatever genre or lead instrument, and then you can build it from there. But I think, I don't think there's a wrong answer, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I've come at it from both angles, you know, in terms of working on songs from just the musical or the note content, because I can write basic chords and things like that. But it's kind of interesting. I'm working with a new group called Cowboy Drifters, And the guitar player in that group has written a lot of songs, but he has no lyrics. So, you know, if you ideally see the really good bands and the bands that have kind of survived over time and that have really generated some really great songs, they've got good people that can write good lyrics in combination with people that obviously can write some great musical stuff as well.
Yeah, I think you touched on something that's, I think that's important that people don't really talk about too much, but I think there's the lyric component, there's the music, there's also the groove, and then there's also the melody. And I know in my personal arc, I wrote lyrics, but I was terrible at melody, and I didn't know how to sing, and then I kind of figured music out, and then I finally figured groove out, and then now I'm working on melody. So it's just, it really is how this all fits together, and it's something that I think I definitely did not understand until I got further along into it. But I think some people don't truly understand that it really is about how it all fits together.
Yeah, it's like a good recipe. If you oversalt it, put too much pepper on it or whatever, and you've got the perfect combination of, you know, for spaghetti or whatever, and you put too many different spices on it, it can not turn out that well. And what I'm trying to, I guess, convey to you, and I think you totally get it, is I really encourage people, if all you can do is write lyrics, but you really want to be involved with music, don't give up. And you know, just look for the right writing partners, the right people that complement what you're thinking and want to do, because they're out there. There's people definitely that you'll click with. And man, it's just magic when you can find that right combination.
Yeah. And that's when you look at all the great collaborations like the Beatles, or you're right. It really is about who fits you, and you can't get stale or stagnant. And it really is about, if you're a lyricist, you're right, find someone that's great at music. And it shocked me how many musicians never write lyrics. So it works both ways.
Yeah, I think the greatest example to me when I started writing and getting into music was listening to stuff that, you know, Elton John had written, and then finding out it was, you know, the lyrics were a big part of it, but they were written by Bernie Taupin.
Yeah, I agree with you, right? That was a great collaboration, yeah.
But yeah, it's just, to me, I've been playing music for a long time, and you know, there's highs and lows, there's dry spots and whatever, but basically I just encourage musicians, if you really love music and you love what you're doing, and whether you're out there playing live every night or just occasional gig, you know, just keep going, you know, keep trying and keep pushing.
Yeah, definitely. How often and for how long do you practice at this point in your career?
Yeah, well, with COVID, it's been kind of, I was on tour for 4 years with a band in California here called the Budrose. And in March of 2020, we were contacted by our agent, and basically everything was canceled for the remainder of the year. So right now I've got a studio in my house, and I rehearse probably two or three times, about an hour per rehearsal. And so I play multiple different instruments. I have a percussion kit, which consists of congas, bongos, and different African types of percussion instruments. And I also play alto sax, flute, and harmonica, and then I sing. So, and I do podcasts too about the history of the blues. And I also focus a lot on the equipment that people used from the 1920s up to now current, in terms of amplifiers, harmonicas, microphones, even go as far as, you know, the pedals and everything else. But yeah, my rehearsal right now is kind of limited to just doing two or three times a week, about an hour, and focus on one instrument for that entire hour.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us a little bit about, and it doesn't have to be you, but the most common mistake you or other people that you've seen in the industry make.
I think it's probably what I've seen over time and performing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of shows across the country and even in Europe. It's reading your audience and understanding, you know, you may like certain kinds of songs, but if you can't connect with the audience, if you're particularly trying to play live and you're doing pay-to-play shows and that kind of stuff, or you're getting paid to play as a performer, it's really doing a little bit of research about, you know, the audience and trying to then generate a set list that's going to really engage them, and also structuring the set list to where it has builds and fills, and then it has peaks and kind of quiet points in it as well. So that to me is one of the critical things in terms of being an entertainer, is trying to really structure the songs and the set list correctly.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. Tell us a little bit about this song of yours that we're going to play in a minute. What inspired it? What do you want us to take from it when we hear it?
Yeah, the song that I wrote that you're going to be playing is called Solid Ground. And I wrote that on a trip that I'd made out to actually up to Chicago, and on the way back, I'd been going through some tough times with my marriage and some personal issues, and I wrote a song called Solid Ground that essentially it was derived from just really deep seeking, you know, in terms of peace and trying to find some way through the turmoil that I was experiencing in my life at that time. And so if you listen to the song, it's got a lot of blues-based kind of a vibe to it that I kind of took from the Delta, Mississippi area. And then, you know, you'll hear on the song, it's basically played on a cigar box with slide. And the singer is a female vocalist that I was on tour with at the time. And then I play harmonica and sing backup. But yeah, that song to me really reached down deep in my soul. And, you know, it's one of the favorite songs that I've written probably in a long time.
Okay, awesome. I'll tell you what, let's take a listen, then we'll come back and talk some more, okay?
Great.
All right, check this out, everybody. Here we go. Well, thank you for sharing that song. That was a pretty cool vibe, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome. So tell us where can people reach out to you? Where can they buy your music, stream it? What information you want to share with the fans tonight?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm on the usual sites, iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud. It's under Ron Richard, and you'll also find a lot of the stuff I've done under The Budrows, and I'll spell that B-U-D-R-O-W-S. You can also find a lot of my stuff on YouTube under my name or under The Budrows. Again, like you mentioned earlier in the show, my music, kind of like yours, I'll tell you a song I like that I listened that you wrote. It's called Above the Clouds. When you listen to some of my stuff, it spans across everything from crossover country to blues to kind of instrumental jazz and rock. That's what I kind of listen to several of your songs, and you do somewhat of the same thing. You've got a lot of different styles of music, which is pretty cool.
What do you think you have going on for the fans in the next year that you want to share? Any surprises for them?
This year, I'm going to focus probably more local. I live in Temecula, California. It's a huge winery area. There's about 100 different vineyards here. And I'm going to be working, as I mentioned, with this group called the Cowboy Drifters, which consists of a lot. We're doing acoustic unplugged stuff and doing originals, as well as one of my favorite songs that we do is by the Foo Fighters, which is Everlong. Lately, the last few days, it means a lot more to me than it did a few weeks ago after the passing of Taylor Hawkins. So that would be kind of something that people can check out. We'll have our own YouTube channel and be posting quite a bit from several of the gigs that we'll be playing out here in the winery area.
Okay, awesome. One of the questions I like to ask everybody on the show is about scams. Warn us about a scam that you kind of see all the time or something you might have fallen for.
In the music business?
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the more common ones is people that will contact you, promote an event, and then you find out that you've got to buy so many tickets for you to be able to play there. So it's kind of a weird situation. I mean, for some people and some bands, it might be an okay way to promote yourself, but I've gotten suckered into a couple of those, and you show up and the sound systems are terrible, the promotion's bad, and there's not very many people that typically show up for those kinds of events. So that's one thing I would caution people is, you know, if it sounds too good to be true and it sounds like, oh, wow, this is going to be a huge event with hundreds of people there, and then they ask you to pre-sell 50 or 60 tickets for the show at $10 a piece. That kind of throws a red flag up for me.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're talking about. I think we all kind of fall for that, and then eventually you kind of learn not to, but yeah, I agree with you. I would run away from anything like that.
I'd say the second thing, and I've gotten burned a couple of times, I play shows in different cities. I played up in Chicago, Seattle, Dallas, Texas, all over. If you're working with a promoter or something, make sure you get everything in writing, you know, in terms of your airfare, your food, your meals, your per diems, and got all that stuff spelled out. So at the end of the gig, you're not surprised that something's not covered and you got to pay for whatever out of your own pocket.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Yep. All right, man. So last question for you. Are there any apps on your phone that you can't live without?
Yeah, Google Maps. That's the one. I love GPS on my phone, so that's probably the number one, because I do a lot of driving with my other job. If I didn't have that, I can't, you know, I used to have a map in my car, a physical map, but that went out the window a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. All right, man. I'll tell you what. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I had a great time, and I hope you did too.
All right. Thank you, and have a great evening.
You're welcome, Ron. So to any listeners out there, thank you for spending a little time with Ron and I. We both hope your unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. Have a great night, everyone. Love you guys. Tonight, I'm going to leave you with one of my songs called Pause. It's kind of an EDM dancey kind of song, and all I want you to do when you listen to my music is hit the pause button and rewind and play it over and over and over again. Hopefully you'll like the catchy melody of the chorus. Have a great night, everyone.
Are you ready to get down? It's party time. Are you ready to get down? It's party time. Sun's come down, no regrets. There's a party brewing out here, a song I can't forget. It gets me jumping, hope this party never stops. Don't play another tune. Song's freaking hot. Let's dance. Let's get grooving. Let's get moving. Let's get bouncing. Let's get down. Let's get toasty. Wait a minute. Songs explosive. Let's relive it. Let's get toasty. Can't you hear? Beats reloaded. It's super fierce. Pause, rewind. Hit pause, then play, rewind. The room crowd rocking hard, sunk pulses to the moon, texting, twerking, best move, limber, playing kinky all around. Let's get curving, let's get moving, let's get bouncing, let's get down, let's get toasty. Wait a minute. Let's relive it. Let's get toasted. Can't you hear? Beats reloaded. It's super fierce. Pause, rewind. Hit pause, then play. Rewind, now play. And pause. Pause, rewind. Play, and pause. Go back a bit. Now pause, then play. Let's get down. Let's get toasty. Wait a minute. Songs explosive. Let's relive it. Let's get toasted. Can't you hear? Beats reloaded. It's super fierce. Pause, rewind. Hit pause, then play. Rewind, now play. And pause. Pause, rewind. Play, and pause. Go back a bit. Now pause. Then play again. Pause again and again. Melody stuck deep in my head. Pause, rewind. Then pause, then play. Rewind, now play. And pause. Pause, rewind. Play, then pause. Go back a bit. Now stop.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
This program was mixed and mastered by Landis Maitland-Whitelaw at landismaitlandwhitelaw.com.